Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, we begin our recollection as usual with that act of faith. I firmly believe that you are here, truly present in the tabernacle, that you see me even though I don't see you, that you hear me, my prayer, talking to you, listening to you, focusing on you. And we come once again to a brief pause in what is probably a very busy life, rushing here and there, looking after children, looking after housework or work outside the home for those who do that. And we don't stop enough to come into your presence. We are like the apostles who Mark tells us in chapter 6 were so busy there was scarcely leisure even to eat. They came into your presence and you said, come away to a quiet place and rest a little. And that is what we do in these evenings of recollection. Make a pause in our life, come back into your presence. I always like those words of St. Augustine in his Confessions. Lord, you were with me, but I was not with you. You are there in my soul. You are there in your providence, looking after me, but I was not with you. I was busy about so many things. And you could say to each one of us what you said to Martha. You worry and fret about so many things. One thing alone is necessary. Mary, the contemplative sitting at your feet, has chosen the better part. Help us in this recollection to listen to you, to see what you have to tell each one of us so that we can leave with good resolutions. And we begin our prayer going to Our Lady, as we are now just 2 days away from the Feast of Her Assumption. And Mary, after that very quiet life on earth, she passes quite unnoticed, but is there for those important moments in your life. The Annunciation, where she receives you into her womb, the birth in Bethlehem, the flight into Egypt, the presentation in the temple, finding in the temple, the wedding feast at Cana, and above all, Calvary, where you culminated your priesthood. Mary is there. And then with her assumption at the end of her life, she has taken up body and soul to all of that glory in heaven. And she takes her place above even the angels. Next to her, only God, the human being closest to the Blessed Trinity in heaven. When the mother of James and John wanted to have her sons seated at your right hand and at your left, and you said, this is not for me to grant, it is for him who has ordained this. And reflecting on that, I thought, surely Our Lady is the one on your right hand, figuratively speaking, after all of her self-giving to you to do the will of God always. And with what generosity and love. And now she's rewarded for that. And we do our prayer in this first meditation about detachment from the world. And Mary, who had everything in her life, because she had God, she had you, materially speaking, had very little. Even though Joseph was from the family of David, the family of kings, he was a poor man. And we see that in a number of moments when he could not find a place in the inn. There's always an extra room for the powerful or for the wealthy, even if it means asking someone else to leave. But Joseph could not find a room in the inn. And we see it in the presentation in the temple, where the normal offering was a lamb and a turtle dove or a young pigeon. And Mary and Joseph presented the offering of the poor, two turtle doves or two young pigeons. Humanly speaking and materially speaking, they went without. But supernaturally speaking, spiritually, they were rich. They had you in their life, in their home, in their heart. They had God. And this is the true wealth, the infinite good. And Lord, you want us to follow that way. Detachment from the world, so that emptying our heart of ourselves and material things, we can fill it with you. St. Augustine, in one of his writings, speaks of someone who has, I think it's a wine skin, and if you wanted to fill it with a liquid, you have to empty it of what is in it to begin with. We have to empty our heart of ourselves, of all our worldly concerns, that in the end don't give us happiness, so that we can be filled with you. And it's not easy. And you want us to do that. You want us to be happy. You say in the Last Supper, "All this I have told you, that my joy may be yours and the measure of your joy may be filled up." You want us to be happy. How will we be happy? And we can come back, if you like, to the philosophical definition of joy or happiness. And it is the passion, the emotion, that follows upon the possession of a good. When we possess some good, it might be a new car, new clothing, a good meal, a good film or concert, a new house, a trip. These goods that are finite, human, that give us joys. But when we look at them, we realize those joys are fleeting. They don't last. And they don't fully satisfy. And if we ask then, Lord, but what can we do to be really happy? If happiness is the emotion that follows upon the possession of a good, we should seek the greatest good. And you are the infinite good as God. And only you can truly satisfy the heart. St. Augustine says it so succinctly in those words that we've all heard many times. It's in his Confessions in the first chapter. Lord, you made us for you, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. Help us to seek you, and then we will find that joy, and we will find that joy even if we are lacking so many other things. A very easy comparison is we look at the people we know and ourselves to some extent in this wealthy country and ask, do we see great happiness? And of course, in some families and individuals, we do. But I think rather we find anxieties, concerns, worries. And the comparison is with so many so-called poor countries, underdeveloped, developing countries, so many countries in this region, New Guinea, the Pacific Islands, Philippines, and those people who have gone on service projects or work camps, as the boys call them, to these poor countries, always come back overwhelmed with the joy that they see in those families. Those poor families, but lots of children and lots of joy. And it helps them to reflect on what really brings happiness. It is not material things, because they cannot satisfy. Love satisfies. Love of God, love of others. And then we find that joy. There are so many millionaires who are exceedingly unhappy, and often because they lack love. Maybe their marriage has broken up. They're on their own, living in their big mansions, perhaps with a few servants, but lonely. And they would exchange their wealth for love, for faith, those who know God. Lord, help us to seek what really matters. And you give us that lesson so clearly in the Sermon on the Mount. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And notice that he has said, you cannot serve. He didn't say you cannot have God and wealth. Because when we look at the Gospels, Lord, we see that you called a number of very wealthy people. Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, St. Matthew, the apostle, Zacchaeus the publican, who climbed the tree to see you, very wealthy. They followed you in one way or another. They were wealthy, but they had you. They had joy. We cannot serve money and God. We can have it, but we can't serve it. And St. Paul gives us the same lesson in his first letter to Timothy. There is great gain in godliness with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and hurtful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. We have seen in these last years the consequences of greed. this insatiable desire for money, for wealth, for position, and the immense harm that it has done to the world, the global financial crisis, and it's driven by greed. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and hurtful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced their hearts with many pangs. The love of money. And again, St. Paul doesn't say having money is the root of all evil or money itself is the root of all evil. The love of money. Greed to have more. And Lord, in the Sermon on the Mount, we can go on. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Lay up treasure in heaven. Love of God, interior life, spiritual life, presence of God, doing God's will, moving in the orbit of God rather than in the orbit of self or the orbit of the world. Our treasure house is you. The more we are filled with you, the more we will push out that love for the world, and the more we push out the love for the world and become more detached, the more space there is for you to truly fill our heart. And then you go on, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And we'll skip a few lines to go towards the end. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. And now the wise words from the Word made flesh. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And we can translate that word righteousness as holiness. Seek first his kingdom and his holiness, and all these things shall be yours as well. And if we don't have all these things, and we do in this country, we have enough. Let us be content with that. We will have them, but above all, we will have God. And if we don't have some of them sometimes, we'll still be happy. We have God, we have family, we have love. St. John of the Cross, in the ascent of Mount Carmel, says it so succinctly too. It ought to be kept in mind that an attachment to a creature makes a person equal to that creature. The firmer the attachment, the closer is the likeness to the creature, and the greater the equality. For love effects a likeness between the lover and the object loved. As a result, David said of those who set their hearts upon their idols, let all who set their hearts on them become like them. He who loves a creature then is as low as that creature, and in some way even lower, because love not only equates, but even subjects the lover to the loved object. And I think we've probably seen this. Someone has bought a new car. He is absolutely thrilled with his car. He washes it every day. He polishes it every day. There's not a speck of dust or dirt on it. And he becomes the slave of the car. And someone else has bought some new clothing or some new jewelry, a new house, whatever it may be. And we serve that. And for many, it's a pet. The new dog, the new cat, the new bird. All the wealth and glory of creation, St. John of the Cross goes on, compared with the wealth that is God, is utter poverty and misery in the Lord's sight. The person who loves and possesses these things is completely poor. The one who loves them is completely poor and miserable before God and will be unable to attain the richness and glory of the state of transformation in God. The miserable and poor is extremely distant from the supremely rich and glorious. And we say, Lord, help me to examine my heart. Where is my heart really? What do I long for? What upsets me when I don't have it? What makes me anxious? Is my heart in you? Or is it in some aspect of this world? To make it our first care to seek the kingdom of God and his approval, all these things will be ours without the asking. Mother Teresa of Calcutta is a great example. In an interview some years ago, she was asked, is materialism in the West an equally serious problem? Answer, I don't know. I have so many things to think about. I pray lots about that, but I'm not occupied by that. Take our congregation. We have very little, so we have nothing to be preoccupied with. The more you have, the more you are occupied. The less you give, but the less you have, the more free you are. Poverty for us is freedom. It is not a mortification, a penance. It is a joyful freedom. There is no television here, no this, no that. This is the only fan in the whole house. It doesn't matter how hot it is, and it is for the guests, but we are perfectly happy. And then she was asked, how do you find rich people then? I find the rich much poorer. Sometimes they are more lonely inside. They are never satisfied. They always need something more. I don't say all of them are like that. Everybody's not the same. I find that poverty hard to remove. The hunger for love is much more difficult to remove than the hunger for bread. And St. Ignatius of Antioch, on his way to Rome in the year 107 to be martyred, torn apart by wild animals, wrote letters to the various churches. And to the Romans, where he was going to be martyred, he wrote, do not have Jesus Christ on your lips and the world in your heart. What a great, simple summary of our prayer. Do not have Jesus Christ on your lips and the world in your heart. Lord, help us to examine where our heart is. If it is excessively in clothing, in possessions, in travel, even in food, to be more detached. And we are detached from food when we can deny ourselves. We don't have to eat so much. We can deny ourselves the salt on this and the sugar on that. So that we live in a real way, detachment from the taste, at least, of food. And we don't have to buy so many articles of clothing. And we can give things away when we're not using them anymore. And there's so many people that are homeless in St. Vincent de Paul, and the other agencies are always looking for clothing. And we have things in our wardrobe that we haven't worn for years. And we could give some of that away. And do we need to replace our car that often? So many things that we can go without. Even the heater on a cool day. We don't necessarily have to give ourselves every comfort. And how attached are we to such means of entertainment as television? Do we find ourselves watching it at times when we're thinking, I shouldn't be here. I should be praying. I should be doing the housework. I should be doing other things. But we can't tear ourselves away. Or maybe it's the computer and the internet, and we get fixated on that. Or maybe it's our book that we are reading, and we really love this gripping story. And we find ourselves late at night when we should have turned off the light and gone to sleep, or when we should be starting the meal, or doing some cleaning, or the shopping. Are we attached to anything that becomes in some way a disorder in our life? And we have to teach our children detachment. Because today, children in this country, many of them at least, have practically everything. And they come asking, can I have, and it's the iPhone or the iPad or the iPod or the skateboard or whatever. But Mom, everyone has one in my class. Yes, I understand that. But your dad and I have decided that for the time being, we don't think it is good for you to have that. And then they're very sad. But we have to teach them to be detached. And when they want money, it's always good to keep them a little bit short. And especially with teenagers, they can get a job and earn some money and realize the value of it. And then we can teach them to save it, to put it into a savings account. So that we teach them thrift, but above all, we teach them detachment of the heart. So that God fills them, their family fills them, love fills them. We finish our prayer going again to Our Lady. Mary, you who lived your long life on earth with very little in the material sense and with everything in the spiritual sense, because God meant everything to you and you heard the word of God and welcomed the word into your womb so that the word became flesh in you and you had your treasure in Jesus. Help us to put our heart in God as you did, to be more detached. When we have our heart in God, then we find that love, we find that joy, we possess the infinite good. And one day, we like you, will be in that supreme, definitive happiness that heaven is. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au.